Today, central bank inflation poker fragments. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is post covering finance and property news. Well, following the dovish comments from the Fed Chair Jerome Powell on Wednesday, and with US markets now expecting significant rate cuts into 2024, the question of the moment was, would the ECB, the Bank of England and other European central banks use this as an opportunity to follow suit? Well, it appears not so much. It's true that the central banks face different economies, but when this week started, this translated into a widespread belief that the ECB would cut first because European growth is far weaker than the US. But weirdly, after this week's meeting, overnight index swaps are pricing in more or less identical changes of 3 25 basis point hikes for each central bank by June next year. But even as investors keep insisting that they'll need to embrace easier monetary policy soon enough, it seems Europe's central bankers are in no hurry to follow the US pivot towards interest rate cuts. Peers from Frankfurt to London declared that further slowing in inflation can't be taken for granted. Whatever financial markets may be betting, they're signalling that easing isn't on the agenda for now. And in fact, in Oslo, Norges Bank went further to defy the global mood and actually delivered an increase with the message there that the policy rate will likely be kept at 4.5% for some time. And also on Thursday, Swiss officials called an end to tightening and even signaled a shift away from selling foreign currency, but reducing rates didn't come into the equation either. So attending the ECB announcement and press conference, there was no change in rates and no signal of rate cuts. Lagarde displayed less concern about consumer prices, unveiled forecasts that point to a flatter profile for inflation, and heralded a winding down of pandemic bond purchases that could pave the way to easing later.
Council today decided to keep the three key ECB interest rates unchanged. We are determined to ensure that inflation returns to our 2% medium-term target in a timely manner. Based on our current assessment, we consider that rates are at levels that, maintained for a sufficiently long duration, will make a substantial contribution to the timely return of inflation to our target. Our future decisions will ensure that the key ECB interest rates will be set at sufficiently restrictive levels for as long as necessary to ensure such a timely return. We will continue to follow a data-dependent approach to determining the appropriate level and duration of restrictions. The Governing Council intends to reduce the PEP portfolio over the second half of 2024 and to discontinue its reinvestment under the PEP at the end of 2024. In any case, we stand ready to adjust all of our instruments within our mandate to ensure that inflation returns to our medium-term target and to preserve the smooth functioning of monetary policy transmission.
We should absolutely not lower our guard, the European Central Bank President Christine Lagarde told reporters. And while she insisted that the Governing Council did not discuss rate cuts at all, policymakers are largely united in expecting to lower borrowing costs later than investors currently anticipate, according to many people who watched what was going on. And when asked about considering cuts, the answer was, well, pretty definitive and clear. It's interesting also that the ECB is watching corporate profitability and ongoing negotiations over wages before forming a firm view over the inflation dangers.
The wage and profit question. Because, you know, it's something that staff both here at the ECB but also in the National Central Bank looks at very, very carefully. And what we have seen is a contribution to from profit unit to inflation declining over the course of 23. On memories, the contribution was about 2.4, and it's now down to 1.4%. If that is confirmed, but it's a big if, and we need to really understand and make sure that this is sustainable. But if that is confirmed, it would mean that the hypotheticals that we had in our previous forecast and that we have for this forecast in December, which was that markups would be reduced in order to absorb increased wages by way of catch-up or otherwise, that is actually taking place, which would be really good news for inflation purposes. But we don't have enough on the table to really determine that this is what is going to happen.
So, standing back here, the ECB has been lagging behind the Fed anyway, said Karlsten Breske, global head of macro at ING. We will see some more of the cyclical downswing in the US, which will allow the Fed to really do those rate cuts next year. While we didn't fly high in Europe, now we're slowing down again. Perhaps most hawkish, though, was the Bank of England, which stuck with guidance that it could hike again at a time when UK inflation is more elevated than either the Eurozone or in the US. Andrew Bailey observed that there is still some way to go in the fight to tame consumer prices, so there is still a need for further tight monetary policy. And in fact, 3 of 9 rate setters at the MPC even voted for another hike. Markets have to form a view, Bailey acknowledged in an interview with broadcasters, noting encouraging signs on inflation. Even so, it's really too early to start speculating about cutting interest rates, he said. So while traders were pricing in a quarter point cut in May and 4 more next year following Wednesday's Fed decision, they pared back to only 1 of those after the UK outcome. UK pricing is being driven much more by changes in expectations for the Fed and the ECB rather than anything in the domestic data that would justify such a move. We do expect the bank to lower interest rates in 2024, but only once there are clearer signs of the labour market loosening. While investors were still betting on cuts in Europe that central banks wouldn't endorse, after the combined messages from Powell, Lagarde and Bailey, traders are still beginning to align on a timetable where the Fed goes first. The repricing towards more loosening followed quarterly projections from the Fed showing officials expect to lower rates by 75 basis points in 2024. That's a sharper pace than indicated back in September. For the time being, it's only the word of Jay Powell that carries any weight, said Mark Dowling, Chief Investment Officer at RBC Blue Bay Asset Management. Market participants understandably remain sceptical that the ECB will be able to maintain their relatively hawkish stance for long, said Lee Hardman, a currency strategist at MUFG. The longer the ECB keeps rates at current restrictive levels, the more likely it runs the Eurozone economy into the ground. Gold wages are behind such rate bets, said Hugh Gimber, global market strategist at JP Morgan Asset Management. They really first want to be sure to see inflation really down at 2%, which implies that they will be late in cutting rates, said Breske. There is a big risk that they would be behind the curve, actually, twice in one cycle on the way up and now on the way down. Quite apart from Europe's slower growth, there's also the fact that its inflation problem seems to be coming under control rather faster. Core year-on-year inflation, excluding food and fuel, was unchanged in the US in November. In Europe, it continued to fall sharply. Comparing the two, actually, the case for easing looks clearer in the Eurozone. Markets imply a much bigger chance of a March reduction from the Fed than from the ECB, with the latter expected to begin easing in April. Both are seen delivering at least 150 basis points of cuts over the next year, equivalent to 6 quarter point cuts. This suggests that the Fed may really be too far ahead of the rest of the world. If that's true, the dollar should be weaker next year rather than many expected, which might in turn be good for assets that benefit from a weaker dollar, such as precious metals or even cryptocurrencies. And interestingly, the latest data from across the ditch suggests that New Zealand is the first advanced economy to enter into a bona fide stagflationary recession, because this week's national account data shows that economic growth in New Zealand contracted 0.3% in the September quarter and by 0.6% over the prior year. This conflicts strikingly with the Reserve Bank of New Zealand's forecasts, which had expected GDP to rise by 0.3% over the quarter and 0.6% over the year. Employment also fell by 0.8% in the September quarter, which has helped push the unemployment rate up from 3.2% to 3.9%, and New Zealand Central Bank is projecting the jobless rate will continue to ascend to 5.25%, a full percentage point above what the RBA assumes will happen in Australia, where nothing short of immaculate disinflation, or hopium, that inflation has magically disappeared, will be required to bail everyone out of strife. So while it's entirely possible that the Reserve Bank of New Zealand will be the first advanced economy central bank to cut interest rates next year, inflation remains highly problematic, running at 5.2% over the year to September, according to the Reserve Bank of New Zealand's preferred sectorial factor model, and by 5.2% on a six-month annualized basis using the trimmed mean measure. Remember, of course, the Reserve Bank of New Zealand targets 2%. So this highlights the central stagflationary risk the entire world faces, while the global economy is all but certain to soften and serious distress is sure to spread. It may not be enough to snuff out recalcitrant service sector inflation pressures, and therefore rate cuts may not come as quickly as many are expecting. But standing back, history shows that central banks often begin cutting rates before any inflation falls back to target as the economy slows and they see inflation falling towards their goal. In fact, as the AFR reported, National Australia Bank economist Taylor Nugent says the RBA and US Fed often step away from restrictive monetary policy before year-on-year inflation has fallen to target. As restrictive policy succeeds in moderating the outlook for inflation, the level of restriction can be reduced, he said. For this to occur, sustained progress in inflation heading towards target is likely needed, and if recent outcomes are annualizing around target and the outlook does not skew to higher inflation, cuts can occur even if annual inflation is not yet at target. So when the RBA began cutting interest rates back in July 1996, inflation had fallen from 5% in 1995, but still printed at slightly above target of 3.1% in the year to the June quarter of 1996. But the RBA governor then, Bernie Fraser, paid more attention to the fact that the most recent 6 months' inflation was running at an annualized pace around 2.5%. The rate cut came 4 months after the March 1996 election of Liberal Prime Minister John Howard, so it was too late to help the Keating Labor government. It was 19 months between the last rate hike of December 1994 and the first cut of July 1996. But NAB's Nugent says the average gap between the final hike and the first cut is usually around 11 months. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese and Treasurer Jim Chalmers will therefore be hoping the RBA rides to the rescue faster this time ahead of any prospective election. So if the RBA's final hike in the current cycle was indeed November this year, not a short of course, then 11 months would be October next year, about 6 months before an election is due. But if the RBA is stubbornly patient on weeding out inflation and it takes 19 months, like in 1996, that would take it the way through to June 2025, more than 3 years after the election of the Albanese government and too late to save Labour. And it's interesting to note, of course, that the Treasury was forecasting a 2.5% inflation rate by then, whereas the RBA is still calling 3%. So it is, of course, still possible that the RBA Governor Michelle Bullock and the board increases interest rate next year if inflation proves sticky and persistent, especially in the labour-intensive services sector. And Albanese and Chalmers are not merely hostages to the RBA because, to some extent, the government can influence the inflation interest rate cycle. Disciplined fiscal policy would help to put downward pressure on inflation and give the RBA earlier scope to extend a rate cut next year, but a pre-election spend-a-thon would keep up pressure on inflation and dim the prospects of rate relief. In fact, Ernst & Young's chief economist, Cheryl Murphy, says rate cuts are far from assured before the next election, given that the RBA forecasts that it will take until late 2025 for inflation to sneak under 3%. With the current trajectory for inflation to be above the band until the end of 2025, combined with upside risks on inflation, I think it's going to be a long time before we see rate cuts in Australia, she says. Maybe the interest rate poker game is indeed fragmenting as the various economies react to the monetary tightening cycle differently. And perhaps the market expectations of almost coordinated rate cuts are in fact overdone. Well, we'll certainly see over the next year or two. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.